ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Economics.
Joining us for a look at business and finance this week is the ABC's Chief Business Reporter, Ian Verinder. Ian, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Evening, Phil. Good to be here.
Good to have you with us too. Tell me about private credit. I often read about this and I think, what's going on? Once upon a time, if you wanted money, you went to a bank.
Yeah.
If you couldn't get money from the bank, you went to the SP bookie and maybe tried to borrow from them. That's if your old man wouldn't lend you the money or whatever.
That's
but
right.
These days, there appears to be a whole market in money, very large amounts of money, called private credit. These are not banks. They're not regulated financial institutions at all.
No, not at all. Well, you've heard about private equity, haven't you?
Yes.
So these private equity firms sprung up about 25, 30 years ago and basically decided that it was too difficult to operate on the stock exchange because of, you know, all of that regulation and all of that, you know, glare of, you know, on you all the time. So, and disclosures and all that kind of thing. So they decided they'd just raise money from private individuals, investors, and go around and buy companies up themselves and take them private and run them privately away from the public spotlight. Well, this is the same kind of situation, except instead of equity, it's debt. And it's sprung up particularly in America. It is just huge in America, and it's growing in Australia as well, and particularly since the Hayne Royal Commission, where we had the banks basically being forced to adhere to a whole new raft of regulations and rules and laws around how they should behave. Now, Australians...
Where's the money come from?
Well, just ordinary people. So you can go and invest in a fund that is a private equity fund, a private credit fund, and there's a lot of self-managed super funds in there, and the lure is that, hey, put your money in with us and we'll deliver you 8%, and you're going to have, this is rock solid because you're going to have first mortgage on the properties.
Okay. And so to borrow from private credit, you're paying higher interest rates.
Yeah,
way higher.
They overwhelmingly lend to property developers, overwhelmingly. Mm-hmm. And that's because property developers have real trouble borrowing money from traditional sources. And you can understand why. You're a property developer, you can say, I'm going to build this massive block of units on these two sites here. So you buy up the two houses or whatever, you've got to bulldoze them all. Mm. You've got to then build the thing, which usually takes a couple of years. And you've got to finance all of this for several years before you start selling the properties off and making your return. Mm. So banks just think this is all too risky. And so the developers tend to operate outside of the banking world. And, you know, so this is a kind of intermediary, a private intermediary, where you can put your money into some fund and then they will lend money to property developers. The problem here is, as a private individual, you're putting your money into the fund, it's somebody else deciding where your money is being lent to whichever developer. You've got no idea who it is. In this case, it's a company that, it's not small, Bathler. Mm. It's got about 22,000 units under construction and 3,500 homes. And it's got about $3.6 billion worth of debt, and pretty much the vast bulk of that comes from private credit. So you've got a lot of ordinary Australians who look like they're going to lose out in this fiasco.
Do people know when they're invested in these things?
Well,
does your super fund invest in these things?
Your super fund might well invest in some of these things. It wouldn't be a lot.
But are they allowed to?
Yeah. You know, it's not illegal, but it's a private market and it flies under the radar. And last year, the corporate regulator ASIC decided that this was a growing trend. Hmm. It was not regulated. They had no idea how much money was involved, where it was going, who was putting it in. So they did a couple of big studies into it to get their head around where it was all going. And this collapse from Bathler is likely to be one of the first tests, I think, for ASIC and how they, you know, cope with this growing trend and what rules or regulations, if any at all, are going to be placed on it, or whether people just should be better informed. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we saw that hotel owner, John Ajimis. Mm. Now, he's now Australia's biggest ever bankrupt with $1.8 billion in debt. He's equal to Alan Bond. He bought a hotel portfolio for guess how much?
Well, a hotel portfolio these days would cost a lot of money.
$380 million, but he's $1.8 billion in debt. And a lot of that money comes from private credit. So, you know, people borrow the money from a private credit operator. They go to another one and borrow more based on they just revalue the assets. So, you know, you can get your friendly revalue.
Classic Alan Bond.
Yeah, get your valuer in there and say, that pub I just bought for $5 million, that's got to be worth 30 now, isn't it? And the value will go, well, when it's finished, it will be. Once you've done all the renos, yeah, so let's mark it up to 30 now. And that's how all of this
works. So these private credit funds, as it were, are losing a lot of money here, in the Agemas case at least.
They have very large portfolio of bad debts on their books, but they recognise that. But the difference is they can charge 8, 10, 20%. Unless, so they make up for the losses on the bad ones.
Well, the usurious interest rates.
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculously high interest rates. And that gives you an indication of how desperate the borrowers are.
Well, sounds like you should stay away from it.
Well, I wouldn't be getting into it, but there are a lot of people who do, and I've met people who, you know, in good times thought they were doing fabulously well.
But if you're an investor, I suppose, it might be attractive because
you're getting good returns.
Because you'd be getting very good returns. Because if you're investing in a fund that lends out money at 20%, you're probably thinking, oh, I want some of that.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. And because they're lending to high risk borrowers, they have a much higher, rate of delinquency.
So they're not really bound by any regulatory issues in relation to maximum interest rates or any of that nature?
But they are bound by, I guess, the conditions that surround all managed investment trusts, which would be disclosure to your investors about what you're doing and where the money's going. But it would appear that a lot of people do not have any control over, a private credit group might lend money out to 40 different property developers, but you might not know the exact names of who they are.
If you needed bridging finance or something like that, could an ordinary person access these things?
What's that?
These private credit facilities. I suppose you can.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to go to the private credit fund manager and say, I want to borrow money, and they'll go,
I need $1 million quick.
Yeah. Well, you'd probably be after a bit more than $1 million. I think they wouldn't be interested in $1 million.
That's true.
So it'd be $50-100 million, and they go, well, you know, can you sign your life up here? And
speaking of debt, by the way, there was talk. We haven't since this news came out since last we spoke. About published debt levels, with the US debt level ticking over to $40 trillion. I mean,
and that's greenbacks as well. That's US dollars.
US dollars, that's right, 40 billion US, which is a figure that I simply cannot get my head around. That's 40,000 million dollars, which is so large it's almost unreal. At the same time, in Australia, which is traditionally we've been prided ourselves on our public debt not being all that high, it ticked over in Australia to $1 trillion. That's 1,000 million Australian dollars.
Mm.
Now, in world terms, we're still relatively okay, but in absolute terms, this is not okay, is it? No.
Well, there's been a huge increase in debt across all countries, across all categories, really for the past 50 years, ever since we saw, I guess, America, you know, junk the gold standard when it came to its currency valuation, and when we saw deregulation throughout the financial world, which, you know, in the early 80s, we've seen an explosion in debt ever since, which is, you know, partly explains why stock markets have risen to the extent they have and why real estate prices have risen to the extent they have as well across the world. Now, the problem that we have here, and you're right to say that Australia's debt isn't as extreme as the other countries. I mean, our debt to GDP is around about 33%.
Mm-hmm.
Germany is about 70%. The UK is about 95%. America is 125% and rapidly heading towards around 135%. And Japan, of course, is in a world of its own with a debt to GDP level of 250%. So, you know, if you look at America, its debt has it's doubled since Donald Trump first became president in 2016. So it was around $20 trillion when he first got into office back then. And it's risen at 20% since he was re-elected last year. So there's been a huge rise in America's debt levels. And the problem is that it shows no sign of abating. And it's you can get yourself out of trouble by growing your economy really, really quickly and thereby shrinking the debt to GDP level. But
you know. America spends more money on interest repayments than it does on defence.
Yep,
it's the third biggest budget item they have.
That's right. So
I mean, the place is going to go. I mean,
they're borrowing vast amounts of money to repay the interest on the debt they already owe. So it's a snowball effect that's happening here.
Well, I mean,
here.
Common sense, this is it going to end in disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I spoke to Saul Eslak last week, the economist who lives now down in Tasmania, and I said to him, how do you see this ending? And he gave me a one-word answer, badly.
Yeah. You know, what does that mean, though? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, where does this all end up? I mean, they are debasing the US. What he said was, you know, they're debasing the US dollar and they're debasing the America's standing as a global reserve currency. So
what happened?
Well,
I think a lot of people look at this and say, if I run up my household debt so badly I can't repay it anymore, the bank forecloses and I'm out on the street living in my car.
You're slightly...
If America, I mean, public debt's not like that.
No.
But what happens?
Well, it's got to be reined in at some stage. I mean, there's got to be a plan put into place to either raise taxes or to cut spending or somehow or other do both. Mm. And I mean, in some ways, I guess the US under Donald Trump has been trying to get NATO partners to stump up more cash and be, you know, a bit more part of the team. You mightn't like the tactics they've used to do that, but it is part of a process to try and rein in America's rampant spending. And, you know, it has been spending hugely on defense. But, you know, at the same time, Donald Trump then runs out and puts through that big, beautiful bill, which gave huge tax deductions and tax cuts to the country's wealthiest people and therefore reduced the tax that they were bringing in. So if you're going to be doing that and you're going to start a war and you're going to then want to increase your defense budget, you know, you've got the forces working in exactly the opposite direction that you want them to work. You're bringing in less tax and spending more. And that's why the US debt is now blowing out at an incredibly rapid pace.
And we can't do it. We can't make the same mistake here in Australia.
No,
so we have to do the same.
We are, you know, we're not travelling particularly well. I mean, we've come through in the past 15 years, we've come through the biggest resources boom in history.
And where's all the money gone?
Well, we racked up deficits in each and every one of those years from 2010 right through till 21, 22, we racked up deficits.
Oh, madness.
You know, and look, we're still in a situation where we're continuing to rack up deficits. The only way out of it is either raise taxes or to somehow grow your economy at a very rapid pace to reduce the impact of that debt.
As soon as we start growing the economy, we just start spending more money.
Yeah, I know. But with Australia, I mean, the big problem with our debt is household debt. So our government, our public debt might be quite reasonable compared to other nations, but when it comes to household debt, we are up there vying for gold, Olympic gold.
Yeah, well, that's because of housing costs.
That's right.
In large part, I imagine.
It is. That's overwhelmingly due to the cost of housing.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Phil.
I think. Talk next time.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.